Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
In this week's study, we're going to find a very difficult passage that is going to continue into next week. And let me say that although we're not going to find much in the way of practical application to our life, but simply the knowledge of the text, coming to a right understanding of it, this scripture does testify to an important biblical truth, and that is that those who are called according to God's purpose, those who walk in integrity, those who are committed to the things of God, they will find God moving in their life in order to bring them to where God would have them to be. So one of the first questions that we should ask ourselves is simply, do I want to be where God wants me to be? Am I committed to the things of God that I might be used to further His will rather than manipulating situations in order that my will might be done? Realize something. When we are walking according to our will, we are going to reflect the life of Lavan rather than the life of Yaakov. When we look in the scripture, we see that Yaakov or Jacob, he was passionate about the things of God. And Lavan, he was a manipulator. He was someone who lacked integrity, who deceived, who cheated, and who will never be successful in the things of God. So take out your Bible and look with me where we left off last week, the book of Genesis and chapter 30. We talked about how Rachel, that is Rachel, that she desires more children. And she denied herself in order that she might receive what we talked about last week, that unique produce of the land called Dudaim that produced a beautiful fragrance according to most of the biblical interpreters. And she waited hoping that God would give her conception and she would add to what God had already done in building up the household of Jacob, meaning the household of Israel. So look with me, as I said, to verse 22. We saw that last week, Dinah was born as we concluded our study. And now the attention is going to go back to Rachel, from Leah to Rachel. Look, if you would, to verse 22. We read here. And God remembered Rachel. And we've talked about several times the power, the strength of that word, to remember. And we've made mention that this word, to remember, has to do with a covenant context. It gives the passage a context where the covenant of God is at the heart of what is being discussed. So God remembered Rachel, and we read that God listened to her, and He opened up her womb. So God is moving miraculously in the life of this woman. And she, look at verse 23, and she conceived and she bore a son. And she said, God has gathered up my disgrace. And the word here for gather up is the word asaf. And it's going to be important because we're going to see a similar word in regard to what God's doing in her life. He's gathered up her shame, her disgrace. And we look on and it says in verse 24, and she called his name Yosef. Now, it's a different but similar Hebrew verb. The word Yud Samek Fe Sofit, Yasaf, which means to add to, and the word Asaf, Aleph Samek Fe Sofit, which means to gather up. But it's not that first word, it's the second word that Yosef's name is derived. Look again. She conceived and she bore a son, and she says, God has gathered up my disgrace. Verse 24. Therefore, she called his name Yosef, saying, the Lord has added unto me another son. And what's important here is the fact that God has added. Now, some would say in regard to this passage that all of these names that are being given to us with the children of Yaakov, the sons of Jacob, they all reveal something about God's activity in this world. And here we find that God loves to add, loves to do more. A word that should come into your mind is the word exceedingly. And this is what Rachel is experiencing. God is exceedingly good when we're interested in the things of God, his will, his covenantal promises. Well, look now to verse 25. And it came about when Rachel bore Yosef, Jacob said to Laban. So at this moment, there's a transition. Why is that important? Well, Yosef, we're going to see later on in our study of the book of Genesis, beginning in chapter 37, when the focus of Genesis switches to this young man, Joseph. We're going to see that much of Joseph's life teaches us about Messiah, messianic principles. And we see one here. Because when Joseph is born, notice how the scripture unites this birth with the words of Jacob. It goes on, look again, verse 25. And it came about when, meaning at that moment, it came about when Rachel bore Yosef, that Jacob said to Laban, send me, and I will go to my place and to my land. Two things are stated here. There is a going forth. And this going forth is similar in regard to the Exodus from Egypt. The Exodus, this concept of going forth, is surrounded with a biblical concept known as redemption. So Joseph was born. And we see that there is a hint in the text to redemption. Secondly, we find something else. That there's a connection between redemption and, notice what it says at the end, to my land. What is being affirmed here with the birth of Joseph, the son of Rachel, is a connection to the land of Israel or promise. Now, let's put two things together. We began this passage speaking about the fact that God, he remembered. And now we find something. We find a message in the text that Yaakov, he wants to leave the exile in Haran. And he wants to go back to his place, meaning the land of Israel. It's also very significant that he says, my place where I belong, and then he says, to my land, Artsi. And what's important here is this. The scripture is presenting loudly to the reader that the place of Yaakov is the land of Israel. And this is all tied up in the text in regard to the covenantal promises of God from this word, Zachar, to remember. Well, let's press on. Look now to verse 26. Yaakov is still speaking, and he does so to Laban. He says, give to me my wives and my children, which I have served you with them. So he has established a household. And this is important. We're going to see this in a few minutes. A household has been established. He has labored to do that. He has labored in the physical so that there will be a spiritual outcome. And this too is an important principle from the text. Many times we have to labor physically. We have to work to serve in this world in order for there to be a spiritual outcome. God uses labor, in other words. So he's speaking to Laban, again, verse 26. He says, give me my wives and my children that I might go, that I might leave. And then it says in verse 26, the second half, and I will go because you have known my service, which I have served you. So he said, you know, none of this is a new revelation. He's saying, I've always had in my intent to go back to the land. That's my place. That's where God wants me. But I came here for the purpose of finding a wife, establishing a household. That's what I've labored here for, and God has blessed me. And now I'm taking my wives and my children, and I'm going back to this place. Now, it's important because we're going to see Laban is a barrier to that. And why is that important? Well, with Eliezer, you recall that Laban, he also didn't want to see Eliezer go back immediately with Rebekah in order for her to become the wife of Isaac. He said those famous words, stay here some days, 10. We don't know what he implied by this. But certainly he was trying to bring a hesitation from the will of God being fulfilled. And whenever, and this is an important principle, whenever there is a hesitation to the will of God being fulfilled by an individual, let's make it personal. Whenever God's will is delayed, when we are hesitating to fulfill it, it is an invitation to the enemy to come in and bring changes where that opportunity to obey, to serve, to fulfill a thing of God, a work of God, a commandment of God, a calling of God. Well, when we delay, that opportunity is often lost. So Laban is being consistent with his deceiving character. He speaks deceit. Remember something. Satan is the father of all lies. Secondly, we see that Laban is hindering the things of God being fulfilled in Jacob's life. And this is important because Jacob is key to the promises of God. You say, well, how should we understand that? Well, Jacob becomes Israel. And the household that he's building up that we'll talk about later is Israel, which is key in regard to the kingdom establishment. So look now to verse 27. And Laban says to him, since I have found grace in your eyes or favor. Now, what he's saying is, you know, you've done well. Things have happened good. Therefore, I should have favor before you. And then he says something, and we need to really pay attention to this word, where it's written, nihashti. Now, most Bibles will say, I have used divination, meaning that which is not what we would say proper before God, that which belongs to falsehood, deceit, that which is related to idolatry and the occult, that which is improper. So it's this word. By the way, the same verb, here, it's in the PL, the intensive form, which means that he did so in a very strong way. But the word nichesh is also related to the word nachash, snake. And we know that Satan was first manifested as a snake. In modern Hebrew, this word can simply be to make a guess or an estimation of something. So there is, within Judaism, a debate whether he used divination in order to come to this conclusion, or whether he simply was estimating. He looked at things and was able to estimate or form an educated guess on something. And what was that? We'll keep reading. That the Lord, and it's significant, we see for the most part the term Elohim, but he uses this sacred name of God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. He says, and the Lord has blessed me because of you. So in the text we see, undeniably, Lavan, having come to a conclusion, one that's based upon on estimating, not on necessarily truth, but based upon what he could discern from his own vantage point, even he could see that the Lord is a key of blessing, and that he uses Jacob, that is Israel, eventually for his vessel to bring blessing into the world. Now, verse 28. And he said, this is still Lavan speaking, fix your wage unto me, and I will give it. Meaning, fix the price that you want in order to continue to work for me, and I'll pay it to you. Verse 29. And he said to him, you know how I have served you, and what was your flock with me. And he's going to say what he means, meaning this. Lavan was not all that successful before Yaakov came. And this certainly is seen within the context. If Yaakov was not a source of blessing to Lavan, when he says, I'm going, give me my wives and my children and I'm leaving, he would say, that's well and fine. Have a nice trip. But instead of encouraging Yaakov to do what God would have him to do and leave for the land of Israel, he's wanting him to delay. And that is because, as we see, Lavan understood that Jacob is a source of blessing. And his flock and his herd changed because of Yaakov, his coming there. And that's why, look at verse 30, it's clearly taught. For little was to you before me. You were poor. You didn't have much before me. But now he says, Vayifrotz lerov, meaning it has burst forth in abundance, for the Lord has blessed you with my coming. Now, this is an important principle, and that is that the scripture saying, because there was Jacob or Israel in Lavan's life, things changed. He was blessed. So what the scripture is saying very loudly, and has done so repeatedly in the book of Genesis and throughout the rest of scripture, is to just remind the reader that Israel is a source of blessing. But Lavan, he, in one sense, wants that, but in another sense, is a hindrance of it. See, here's what the text is going to tell us. This is very practical. As Israel grows and is blessed by God, Israel's in a position to bless others. But what Lavan wants is to strip Israel bare for his own prosperity. He doesn't want Israel to grow, so the blessing and the potential of blessing is greater for all the nations of the earth. No, he sees this very individualistically. How can I be blessed by this? But he does not want Israel or Jacob or this family to do well. And this is going to be very much emphasized in the text. Look now to verse 30, the second half, where it says, Yaakov is speaking, and now when will I build also I my house? So the point is this. It's telling us that Lavan is not interested in Jacob's house being built up, meaning Israel. He's only interested in stripping Yaakov from his blessing so that it will benefit him. So it's not those who bless Israel will be blessed. It's let's take Israel's blessings away and keep Israel down, and I'll strip away what might be good for me, what I want that Israel has. And this is what we see taking place in the world today. A desire to take away the land that Israel has made prosperous. Not too long ago, I was speaking, and we'll speak again in another location about this passage from Matthew 24, beginning in verse 32, where Messiah commands, and let me say commands, believers, the world, watch the fig tree. Let me translate that. Watch Israel. And look for God's blessing, God's prosperity, the fullness of God being poured out into Israel in a visible way. And I say fullness, that is, that which reflects God's character, that which reflects God's ability to take what was little and turn it into greatness. That's what Yaakov did for Laban, and that's what the Jewish people have done with this land that was not very desirable, but now is extremely desirable because of the change that the return of the Jewish people back to the land has made. So look again, Yaakov is saying, now, if I stay here, when am I going to have the opportunity to build my house? Verse 31. And he said, what I will give to you, meaning I want you to say, so what's your price? What do I have to give to you that you'll stay? And Jacob says, you shall not give me me'uma. Me'uma means simply nothing. Don't give me anything. Now, what's the purpose here? Yaakov is going to show the fact that God's blessing is upon him. So Yaakov here is wanting to demonstrate that the blessings, that the providence, that the good measure of God is upon Yaakov. That he's not receiving some Laban, but rather it is all because of his work, what he has done. So the nations, although they are called to bless Israel, Israel's call and Israel's greatness is not based upon the nations, but based upon God. Look again. He says, do not give me me'uma, nothing. If you will be to me this thing. He's saying, rather, let this be what's going to be. And I will return and I will shepherd, and your flock I will keep. So he says, if you agree to this thing. Now, notice what he's saying here. It's very important. He says, if you will do this thing, and the implication is agreement. Now, in another week or two, we're going to be talking about a covenant with Laban, mitzvah. And this is going to be very important, but the foundation of that is being laid now. And the problem is, Laban is not going to be honorable. First of all, he says, I want you to say so much, you just tell me your price, and I'm going to pay it. And Yaakov says, I don't want anything from you. You don't have to pay me, but this is the thing that I want you to do. And it's to show Laban God's power in Jacob's life. Look at verse 32. He says, I will pass in all your flock today and remove from there all the sheep, which are, and we have to pay attention to the words. The word here is nakod, comes from the word nikuda. Nikuda is a point. So these would be sheep with points, or what we could call polka dotted, is how it's also translated. So we're talking about those that have kind of dots upon them. And then also the word ve'talu. Talu is patched. So here we're talking about sheep that have spots, or what we could say patches upon them, meaning not one color. And he says, and all the sheep which are brown. Now there are black sheep, there are white sheep, there's also brown sheep. And he says, among the sheep, he says, which are patched and spotted, among also the goats, this shall be my wage. So he says, I'm going to take the ones that are spotted, those that are patched, and in other words, going to be introduced into the text later on. So those along with brown are going to be his sheep, which means his wage, what he's going to receive. Verse 33. Now, verse 33 is very important because it speaks about the integrity of Yaakov. See, you ask most people, and we've dealt with this, but I'm going to say it again because the text is emphasizing it. You ask most people, and they'll tell you that Jacob, deceiver, surplanter, can't be trusted, not a man of integrity. But when we look at the text, literally, we find just the opposite. And the next verse shouts this out. Look again to verse 33. What he says is this. Ve anta bi sidkati. My righteousness. Now some will say integrity, but it's the basic word for righteousness. It's in the first person possessive. My righteousness answers me. So he's saying, you're going to see how much integrity that I have. And it is going to be a testimony. It is going to be a response to our relationship. A response that manifests God in my life. That's what we're going to see. He says, today, in today, tomorrow, that's what's in the day, which is tomorrow, we might say. For, he says, you shall come upon my wage, which is before you, all which is not polka dotted or spotted or patched among the goats and brown among the sheep. So he says, tomorrow I want you to do something. I want you to go among the flocks, and any of those, and it ends with the phrase ganuv hu iti, any of those that are not according to the agreement, any of those, he says, must be stolen, and that's why they're with me. So he says, if that's the case, I've stolen them. And he's not going to steal. He's saying, this is my promise to you. So you check it out tomorrow. Any of those, einenu, those that are not polka dotted or spot or patched or brown among the sheep, any of those, they are considered stolen with me. So they belong to Levan. And notice what happens. Levan says, behold, may it be as your word. So it will be according to your word. I've agreed upon this. Now, here's the problem. He agrees, but look at verse 35. Verse 35 is very important. Here we see an example, the first example of Levan being deceitful. There's an agreement. He says, Beyom Machar, in the day that's tomorrow, I'm going to allow you to come. And I want you to see, I'm going to put everything in their proper order according to the agreement. What does Levan do? Well, look at verse 35. Vayasar, he's going to do that. That is Yaakov tomorrow. So today, that day, it says Beyom Hahu. And that phrase, I hope you've been listening enough that whenever you hear that phrase, Beyom Hahu, in that day, the context is judgment. So there is a judgment coming upon Levan for what he did in verse 35. Because in that day, Levan, that is the subject of the verb, he removed among the he-goats, those that are streaked and the ones that are pouched, and also all the goats which are polka dotted and patched, and all that are white that were with him. So he took what was his, but he also took, according to the agreement, what should also belong to Yaakov, and all the brown among the sheep. So he took everything that was should have been to Yaakov, and he took it, and notice what it says, and he gave it into the hands of his sons. So it was supposed to be this. We're to start out with a separation of the flocks. We've already determined what is going to be mine. The ones that are spotted or polka dotted, the ones that have patches, and the brown among the sheep and so forth, also among the goats, because the sheep and the goats were in the same flock. We see that today in Israel as well. So Laban agreed, but the day before that this was supposed to be proven, Laban went and he took out an extra portion. He made the flock less favorable to Jacob, and he simply stole a portion for himself. And he gave them, look at the end of verse 35, he gave them into the hand of his sons, verse 36. And he set on a three-day journey between himself and between Yaakov. So he separated, and Yaakov was shepherding the flock of Laban that remained. And that's very important, that which remained. So Laban cheated Jacob. And this is something that the text is telling us that constantly happens. It did so with Esau, that is Esau and Jacob. Who was the deceiver? Who was the cheater? Who was the one who tried to get back that blessing that he sold when he sold his birthright? Esau. He didn't play by the rules that were established according to the purchase agreement. Likewise, Laban is not doing that either. But we're going to see that Jacob is going to be successful. And next week, we're going to see God's providential hand in it. Now, we're ready at this time for verse 37. Verse 37 through the end of this chapter is difficult Hebrew, point one. Secondly, there is great debate about what really is going on. And all I can do is to simply translate it literally. You'll find that many of the English translations, and I would expect translations into other languages, instead of translating things literally, they are going to try to help the reader understand the confusion, and more often than not, put within their translation words of interpretation, words of clarification. And sometimes the text is difficult, confusing, not clear, because God wants us to ponder it. And sometimes there's not clarity in that text. We have to move on to another passage where that second passage will bring clarity to the text. So you're going to have to just be comfortable with some of the confusion today. Secondly, if you read the commentators, you're going to find as well much disagreement, much division, much different views. And there's a tendency to see that which is supernatural in a way that perhaps God did not intend. Is God working in this? Yes, he is. He gave Yaakov insight in what to do. But there's also a physical aspect. And here's a principle. Sometimes the miraculous, meaning God works in a physical circumstance. He uses that which is common, that which is prevalent, frequent in a society, and he uses that which is common to bring about that which is highly uncommon. So let's go into the text. I'm going to emphasize the Hebrew here because here's the problem. Many of the people who just translate or teach this or give commentary My strong opinion is they didn't wrestle with the text. They didn't spend 3 to 4 hours going through the Hebrew, checking out word studies, looking at how that word appears in other places, what's the basis of that word, what is being conveyed by that word, in order to formulate a right translation. Set aside the interpretation. We're going to do more with that next week. But now we're just going to pay attention to the words. And the reason for that is this. I want to give you the opportunity to be uncomfortable, to have not a clear understanding that will force you to also look and spend time trying to understand this. Sometimes those passages which are the less clear are the most significant. So let's begin this endeavor, verse 37. Vayikach lo Yaakov makal livne. What it literally says is, and Yaakov, he took for himself, by Yikach lo, he took for himself, who did Yaakov? Makal, that is a stick, what normally is translated a rod in most of the English, but it's simply a branch from a tree. And it says here, makal livne. Livne, we're talking about a poplar tree. So they have a unique characteristic that on the inside, they tend to be white. And that's why the phrase is makal livne, a poplar branch or a rod of the poplar tree. The word here, livne, comes from the same Hebrew word as lavan, this man, and lavan, the color. The color lavan is white in Hebrew. And it says it's lach, some will say green. It's not the word yarok, green. It's the word lach, which means moist. And probably because the tree is moist, it would also be green, meaning bearing life, showing life. And it was of hazel and chestnut. And what did he do? Vayfatzil bahem pitzalot levanot. Now, the word here, pe sade lamet, means to split. I think many of the English will use the phrase peel away. That's fine. But it's splitting the branch so you can pull and make different splittings or peelings. So once again, and this is Yaakov, Jacob doing everything. And he split them and he had white peelings that were exposed. White peelings were exposed. And it says, which were on the branches or these rods. So he split up these branches, he peeled them back so that there was peelings of whiteness exposed. Now, what this would be like would be to have a pole and to peel off things to it. So it is not a sharp branch that would poke and hurt, but rather it would be something. And the wood here of this type of trees, these type of trees, the poplar, the hazel, and the chestnut, the wood's not as hard. So it's something that's peelings, that's soft, that you might rub on your body that would even feel pleasant. And that's important because that's the intent. So move on. Look now, if you would, to verse 38. Vayiseg, that is, he presented them. The word here is related to represent something. But in this case, he presented these rods which he peeled and he placed them ba-rehitim be-shikatot hamayim. Shikatot maim, we're talking about troughs of water where the animals would come and drink from. But there's another word, rehitim, modern Hebrew, that's furniture. But here it's talking about perhaps grooving. Within the trough, there was grooves. And what he did was he took these rods from the tree, these branches, which he had peeled back, this soft wood, exposing the white. And what did he do? Well, he put them there so when animals came to drink, they would encounter them in their under area, meaning below their chest, below their head, on their chest, and below as you move to the back of the animal. That's what it says here. Why do I point that out? Look at the end of verse 38. It says, when the flock would come to drink, the flock would be before, meaning it would be before these, having to come, and then we have a phrase, Vayacham na bebo an lishtot, which means they were made, and the word here is the word cham. It's in the verb form, to make warm. And that word cham, well, something, in fact, we use it today in colloquium. We say, that is a hot person, meaning that person is desirable, pleasing. That word can mean to stimulate. It means arouse. All of that in the Hebrew. When someone's burning with fire, burning with passion, that's the idea that's being used here. Now, here again, maybe we don't like to discuss those things. I know I don't. We're not going to go into great detail, but this is what the text is referring. Because the next thing we're going to be talking about is mating, conception, and animals being born. And that all comes about because of a process that we are alluding to, but do not want to go into in great detail. Look now to verse 39. And when the flock would, some Bibles say, mate or become stimulated by these rods, it says that they would give birth, meaning it's going through the process. It would stimulate them, which would cause them to want to mate, and in the end result, they would give birth. What would? They would give birth this flock, and they would give those that are streaked, those that are polka-dotted, and those that are patched. Verse 39, that is with patches of color. And the sheep Yaakov separated, and he set, and this is important, he set the face of the flock to the ones that were streaked, and all the brown, and it says, and with the flocks of Lavan, he placed them with the herds by themselves. So what he's saying is this, that he separated, based upon those that were born and those remain, he positioned them in a way in order that those that would be born would favor his agreement rather than Lavan. Now, what's he doing? Well, there's nothing wrong with acting in a way that would be prosperous to you. He's under no obligation. He takes care of the flock, but he's acting and behaving in a way, we'll see this next week, in order that his flock grows and Lavan does not. And what's the context? Well, to answer the context, you have to go back to verse 35, where it says, Beyom Hahu, on that day, judgment. Yaakov is manifesting God's judgment upon Lavan for his deceit. When he tried to, and not tried to, he did cheat Yaakov. So he's functioning in this way, positioning the sheep and the goat in a way so that it will benefit the numbers that are produced are going to be the ones that are favorable to him. And when the other ones come, which are not belonging to him, he is not going to place those rods there to stimulate them and want them to breed. All right, let's move on now to verse 41. And it came about in all the mating of the flock, there were the strong ones. And this would be the strong female ones because the noun is feminine. And Ve'sam Yaakov, and Yaakov placed the rods before the flock in the grooves for the mating or the stimulating with the rods. So he did that for those that were strong, those that were connected to him, is another way that we can understand this text. But, now look at verse 42. But the ones uv ha'atif. This would be the words for the weak ones, the tired ones, those that weren't so lively, who weren't interested in mating. He says here, but the weak of the flock he did not place. And it came about that the weak ones that were to Laban, and the strong ones were to Yaakov. So it says here, in the end, because of what he did, and we'll talk more about that next week, in the end result, the ones who were strong, those who wanted to mate, those who were healthier, they came to Yaakov. And the ones that were less interested in mating, those that were weaker, those that were less lively, they became part of Laban's flock. And all of this is to show that when you practice deception, you're not blessed. But when you listen to God, and this is going to become clearer next week, when you listen to God wanting to build up what God has called you to build up, God's blessings are going to be to you, and you will be successful. You will be prosperous. Does that mean everyone's going to be wealthy and rich? No. But those who obey God, many times that obedience leads to financial well-being. In order that can be used for godly reasons. Well, let's move on. Look, if you would, to verse 43. We read here, last verse. Vayifrotz ha'ish me'od me'od. What it says here is the man burst forth, meaning there was great activity in his life, and we find the phrase me'od me'od. Why this word? It means very, very, me'od me'od, very, very, usually translated very exceedingly. In English, most translations, not to be redundant, they put two different words, but it's literally the same Hebrew word twice. And we see this construction frequently, frequently in the Old Testament. And one of the ways that the sages understand that is that he is going to burst forth in abundance. That's the context. The first me'od is for this age, and the second one is for the kingdom. So we want to be prosperous in the things of God in this age, but more importantly, in the age to come. And it came about to him, meaning to Yaakov, were great flocks, meaning a large number of sheep, and also maidservants, and workers, and camels, and donkeys. So God blessed him in every way. Who was he blessing? Yaakov. Yaakov's not the deceiver. No, in this context, Laban is. And it's just to announce to the reader that God blesses those with integrity. Never think that God doesn't know what you are conniving in your mind, what you're doing in secret. God knows all things. So we need to be people that are righteous in conduct, behave in integrity, because God loves that. It is in relationship to his characteristics, his attributes, and he will work in those things in order to use us in a mightier way. Well, I'll close with that. Until next week, Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.